Kemper glanced over his shoulder at me, still fighting with the keys.
You got your kit? You're gonna exercise him, right?
Little problem there. Demons I can exercise. He frowned. Point being, he told you he was the king of worms, right?
Yeah?
The kid spread his lips in a sneering smile, still holding my gaze through the one-way mirror. Then his left front tooth began to buckle under the pressure of his tongue. It pushed outward and slowly tore from his gums like a lifting drawbridge. His tooth fell out. It bounced across the interview table, trailing droplets of blood in its wake. The tip of the kid's tongue, glistening red, poked out through the gap and wriggled at me like the head of a newborn maggot.
Far as I can tell, I said, that's not a demon.
Kemper opened the door, saw the blood and the tooth. His face went sweaty pale. I spotted an unplugged security camera in the corner of the room, dangling dead.
Oh, shit! Faust, don't let him do that!
Jennifer patted his shoulder and skirted around him.
Stand clear, sugar. We got this.
A bold claim,
the teenager said in a voice older, more sonorous than his spindly chest should have been capable of. Blood from the freshly yanked tooth drooled down his chin and spattered the stainless steel table. He swung his reptilian gaze my way.
Lazarus?
Heard you were looking for me, I said, trying to sound more nonchalant than I felt.
He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And you believed in me, in the bowels of that mortal prison.
Eisenberg, trapped behind bars with a target on my back and hired killers closing in, I'd done the only thing I could. Reached out, for the second time in my life, to the King of Worms. The king defied occult taxonomy. He wasn't a demon, wasn't a corrupted human soul or some ancient undead sorcerer. He was something else, with names and epithets half whispered down through centuries of occult grimoires.
And lo, he said, you died within those prison walls and rose again, resurrected and free, thanks to me.
I thought there weren't any strings attached to that deal, I said.
There weren't. But how did you repay me? You lured my poor emissary into the desert and murdered him.
My hand throbbed with the memory. I was flat on my back in the dirt, inches from my fallen shotgun, as Damien Echo ground his heel against my broken fingers. Storm clouds roiled in the night sky and blotted out the stars as he raised one clawed hand. He spat out an incantation, a ritual call to the shadows, and then nothing.
You abandon him, I said. Echo prayed to you, and you abandoned him.
The necromancer had grown complacent with the passing of centuries, lazy. Against anyone else, I might have aided him, but you, I've been keeping a curious eye upon. I wanted to see who would win. If he had slain you with his own magic, I would have considered him worthy of my continued investment. Instead, you've forced me to seek a new servant.
Let me guess, I said. This is the part where you tell me that you've chosen me to become your next emissary.
He let out a wheezing, raspy laugh.
You think too highly of yourself. Lazarus received a miracle. He didn't perform them. Arguably, his greatest contribution was testimony, telling people of the glory he'd beheld.
I leaned in. My splayed fingertips brushed the cold steel of the interview table. I stared down at the kid's torn-out tooth and swallowed a surge of anger.
"I'll be happy to tell everybody in town about you," I said, "as soon as I figure out what the hell you really are.
But to be honest, right now I just want to know what it's going to take to get you out of that kid's body without doing any more damage."
He shook his head with a half-hearted snort. "The child is lost and damned. Not to your hell, but to mine. It was fated to be so. The moment the tainted sacrament melted upon his tongue."